The last of these metrical poems I'll read is a poem called Looks. I was looking through a book of photographs by a photographer called Robert Mapplethorpe. Came out last fall, I think. And it's entirely a book of portraits. And came across the portrait of somebody I'd known. Not somebody I'd liked very much, but somebody I'd known. He was lived in the same house as a friend of mine. And he was somebody who lived in the same district as me, and I'd seen quite a bit over a number of years. Not a particularly pleasant person, but a person who had most extraordinary eyes. You noticed them at once. This is not like Isherwood's eyes. There was a kind of glow about them. He was highly conscious of this. He was an actor. I'm sure he used it. He knew that this was a gift. I call this a gift in the poem. But there's an extraordinary glow about these eyes, which you notice in this poem. This poem came out of remembering this. And I suppose I'm using the word looks in the title in a punning sense, both looks that you give somebody else and looks in the sense that this is your appearance. I don't like his looks, you might say. Those eyes appear to transmit energy and hold it back undissipated too. His gaze is like a star that cannot see. A glow so steady he directs at you, you try to be the first to look aside, less flattered by the appearance of attention than vexed by the dim stirrings thus implied within a mind kept largely in suspension. Although a gaze sought out and highly placed by lovers and photographers, it is too patly overwhelming for your taste. You step back from such mannered solemnities to focus on his no doubt sinewy power, his restless movements, and his bony cheek. You have seen him in the space of one half hour cross a street 20 times. You have heard him speak, reading his work to the surprise of guests who find that dinner was a stratagem. Poems in which the attracted turn to pests if they touch him before he touches them. In which the celebrant of an appetite richly fulfilled will say, "Get off me, bitch," to one who thought she had an equal right to her desires. Nevertheless, in which he holds you by the voice of his demands, which take unfaltering body on the air as need itself, lithe, famished, clenched like hands pale at the knuckle. Then his luminous stare, that too. He is an actor, after all. And it's a genuine talent he engages in playing this one character, mean, small, but driven like Othello by his rages, as if a passion for no matter what, even the self, is fully justified, or as if anger could repopulate the bony city he is trapped inside. At times, he has a lover he can hurt by bringing home the pickups he despises because they let him pick them up. Alert, always for looks, and they must look like prizes. He blurs further distinction, for he knows nothing of strength but its apparent drift, tending and tending, and nothing of repose except within his kindled gaze, his gift.